Hello. Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are currently in our series, Relationships. If you would like to know more about North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can check us out on our website, nvcmd.org.
Morning, North Valley Church. My name is Dan. I am the lead pastor here. For those of you who might be guests this morning, thank you for joining us. So I just have a quick question to get us started. And this question is for everybody, the folks who are short, folks who are tall. Does anybody here know the Golden Rule? Has anyone heard of the Golden Rule before? Can I see some hands? No? Is anybody? Naomi. Naomi, you know the Golden Rule? Yeah, come on up. If you just share with everybody, turn around and say hi. Everybody, this is Naomi.
Naomi,
Naomi, this is everybody. Could you just share what you think the Golden Rule is? Can you take a look at the screen behind you? Oh, slide. Yep, there we go. All right, thank you. Good job. Golden Rule. Lots of folks, we say that. We teach it to our kids. We hopefully some of us try and live that out. And it's a good thing to be able to do, but I want to talk about where that happens. Jesus actually shares that golden rule. And while it's cool to be able to say, and we can get empowered by it sometimes, man, when you look at the context in which Jesus actually shares this very popular verse that we call the Golden Rule, it's like, whoa, that's a little bit on the challenging side. So today I just want to take a moment. We're just going to step into that passage. We are in our sermon series on relationships, and today is actually going to be the last day on our relationships series. So if you've been enjoying the groovy music that's been part of the transition video, This was it. This was the last time. And you'll have to get... Okay, Ben, one person was... Huh? yes. We're going to step into not just talking about the Golden Rule, but the heads up, folks, is that when Jesus shares this, he's actually talking about enemies. And when Jesus shares the Golden Rule, he's actually giving us a heads up on how we might want to respond to our enemies. So we are going to step into Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Starting with verse 27. I got it. I'm good. To you who are listening. Is everybody listening? All right, to you who are listening, see, Jesus sets me up here. This is great. To you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. So the bar starts to look kind of high. That for people who are our enemies, those folks who are in opposition to us, those who are hating us, those who curse us, those who mistreat us, what are we supposed to do? These are words from Jesus teaching his disciples. And he's telling us we should do good. We should bless. We should pray for our enemies. What does that look like? I know when I was growing up, when I was a kid in my neighborhood, I grew up in Buckystown, Maryland, if anybody knows where Buckystown is, a little south of Frederick. I had a nickname. There was a lot of kids my age, and I had a nickname. It was Dumb Daniel. Thank you for your compassion. But it is what it is. That was my nickname. That was in high school, but I'm going a little back further. I had some guys in the neighborhood who called me Dumb Daniel, and they would do it jokingly, right? But they didn't do it because they wanted to be nice to me, did they? It was a way for them to pick on me and to kind of rub me a little bit. Now, I'm going to talk about why in a little bit, but I really didn't respond much. I kind of let it go. These guys said unpleasant things about me, but you know what? One of the things we used to do growing up was play basketball. When they showed up, they were on my team. Okay, good, let's do our best to win. You do good with the people regardless if they hate you or mistreat you. A couple of them, as they got older, ran into some bumpy times in their life, and they were just sitting down talking and sharing, and I did what God built me to do. I listened. I'm a good listener. I, despite my not having a relationship with Jesus, somehow or other, and when I was a kid, I was still able to say this golden rule applies. And whether or not I've got people who are going to call me names or mistreat me, I can still come alongside them and do good. What does do good look like? Right? Do good might look like just being kind to somebody. It might just be showing respect. Maybe you have an opportunity to give an encouraging word. So those are some opportunities, but I'm going to set the bar, right? The bar is not so high, but God actually set the bar. So if you picked up a program, one of the things in your program is a set of devotionals that go with the sermon for the week. And they're daily devotionals. They're no longer in 5 minutes you could read this. And they're all tied to the sermon that we're doing today. So if you had one of these, and if you get them an email or you pick it up Saturday, the scripture you're going to read on Saturday is out of Exodus. And it says, if you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you falling down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help them with it. So the at least the bottom rung of the ladder is even for your enemies, even for the people who mistreat you. When you see them in need of help, lend a hand. Lend a hand. Don't leave people to suffer. Don't leave people in their anguish. We have an opportunity to be able to do good. And when God opens up those doors and opportunities, man, do that. If you feel empowered that you want to do more than that, and kind words, give them encouragement in a moment, do that. But man, the bottom rung of the ladder is when you see them hurting, offer a hand. And blessing people, man, that's easy, right? Say something nice to people. Man, Dustin, I really dig your shoes. Those are great shoes. Let me know where you got those, okay? See, Dustin feels empowered. He's like, I am glad I came to church today, because these are cool shoes, right? Say an encouraging word. Not that Dustin's my enemy, but if you had an enemy, you could still do that. Anybody enjoys a compliment on their shoes. Say an encouraging word. Be kind. Again, the bottom rung of the ladder for that is respect, right? Be respectful. If you have an opportunity to say a kind word, say a kind word. Even for the people who might look like our enemies. Pray for your enemies. Wow, what does that look like? Praying for my enemies. That can present a challenge. So let's set our goal, right? Where God wants everybody is God wants us all to be able to have a relationship with Him. So if you are unsure about any how else to be able to pray for somebody, man, pray that God would be able to meet them where they are and build a relationship with them, and that they would be able to turn their heart towards God. For as much as you can, regardless of people who might hate you or mistreat you, man, when you have the opportunity, do good. When you have the opportunity, bless them with some words. When you have the opportunity, pray for them and their relationship with God. Jesus doesn't stop there. He lays the challenge down a little deeper. He gets specific about what that might look like. In verse 29, it says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. I know there's a handful of us here right now are going, no, I'm not doing that. No way. Someone slaps me, I'm going to defend myself. Someone takes my stuff, I'm going to get it back. Jesus sets the bar kind of high. What does that look like to be able to deal with people who do these things to us? Jesus, this isn't something you can split hairs with the words. It's real clear. So sometimes when we try and figure out what that looks like in these really difficult things, I like to draw number lines. Today, we can draw a line, right? Let's stand over here. Over here on this side of the line, when I read this, what I see is do not take revenge. It's not okay just to hit somebody back because they hit you. You can defend yourself. Yeah, maybe it means you need to throw a punch. Right? But we don't let our anger overwhelm us. We don't decide tit for tat. We don't decide that they did that to me, they said this, I'm going to get them back. We don't take revenge. So that's this side of the line. We need to be able to let revenge go. Some of us, depending on our past, might be over here struggling with these words on this side of the line. On this side of the line means, am I supposed to tolerate abuse? Are people allowed to do this to me and I don't have to do anything about it? The Bible's just clear in multiple passages that doing that to somebody is just inappropriate behavior. It's not okay. Abuse is not okay. So I'm going to help you paint a picture of what the difference is when this happened versus what abuse looks like. Abuse is a pattern of behavior. Abuse is I have a relationship with somebody. Abuse is I have a relationship with somebody and they're continually doing this to me. That's not okay. So there's two ends of the number line. I don't have to tolerate abuse, but I'm not going to take revenge. So somewhere here is when somebody does something difficult to me, I find a way to cope with it. I find a way to respond in a way that lets them be reminded that they're loved by God. I care about them. Really, God tells us to love everyone, our neighbor, our enemies, the people who mistreat us. There are neighbors too. We're supposed to find a way to love them. So we want to be able to let those folks know we love them, but we might need to say, I'm not going to continue to do that forever. When I was growing up and those guys called me Dumb Daniel, yeah, I went ahead and put up with it because there were other things that were more important than what somebody else wanted to call me for a name. I'd rather be able to have a relationship. I'd rather be able to play basketball. There are opportunities we've got to do that. Now, I'm going to be transparent a little bit. Part of the reason I was able to do that is my personality. I'm a passive person. So my nature is I'm not going to overly respond anyway. So that helps me in this circumstance. However, it also lends me to fall into this, right? I can easily slide to this side of the number line. Now I have to be wary of that. For those of us who have a more active personality, when we see something and we want to take action on it, well, you might respond differently. You might let them know, hey, I really enjoy that. That's really funny. You say it again, we're going to have a talk if it's a pattern. For people who do that, that's an okay response. That's a good response. But your danger is you might slide over here into wanting revenge. The difference between revenge and just saying what needs to be said is your anger. Am I responding in anger? Am I letting my anger, my hurt, my emotions drive my actions? If that's what's happening, you need to pull back, process your emotions, and then come up with the best response. Jesus paints us a clear picture of what it is that we want to do for our enemies. Now, here's the take, big, deep breath. Love your enemies. Do good. Bless them. Pray for them. And then these specific things. If somebody slaps you, don't slap them back. If he takes your coat, give him your shirt. If they take something from you, don't demand it back. Then Jesus says in verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the context of the golden rule. That for when we think about wanting to treat people how we want to be treated, Jesus starts with, let's look at how we respond to our enemies, those who oppose us, those who hurt us. It's a challenge. I'm going to go lightly on that. But there's the bar that Jesus has said, and the context is our enemies. Why would we want to do that? What's part of our motivation to want to be able to put up with that, to want to be able to respond this way? Jesus continues on after this verse. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Jesus is painting us a picture. Are we going to be set apart from the world? Or are we just going to live like everybody else? When people see how we respond to our enemies, and it's so diversely apart from the rest of the world, that's when people are going to see and notice the love of Christ living inside of us. We have an opportunity in these difficult circumstances to look different, to not look like the rest of the world. People are going to see that. People are going to notice that. It is one of the great opportunities to show the love of Christ. Now, we can't do that in our own strength, can we? I can't muster all this, but I can do that with Christ in me. I can do that because 2,000 years ago, Jesus lived, died on a cross to pay the price for my sins, to restore my relationship with God. And when I put my faith and trust in Him, receive His forgiveness and His leadership in my life, I'm empowered. Not only does my eternity get set, but I receive the Holy Spirit. And I have the opportunity to read through His Word and let that equip me and empower me. I have the opportunity to lean into the Holy Spirit that's inside me, who's guiding me, who's healing me, who's empowering me, strengthening me to do these completely unnatural things. our natural self wants to push against this, right? Cooler yet, what Jesus did was 3 days later, he rose from the dead to demonstrate he has the power over sin and death. We put our faith and trust in him, we are transformed for eternity. If you've never done that before today, man, let's make today the day. Let's find a way to live different than we've maybe been seeing everyone else live. Maybe the way we've been living. To be able to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to be able to love people the way Jesus called us to do. Maybe for you, that first step is going to be healing. Dan, I want to do that, but man, I got stuff that's in my way. Let's enter into a relationship with Christ. Let him work on that. And if you want to talk about healing and what your forward might look like, man, please give me a call. I would love to be able to walk with you in that journey. I'm going to invite the band back up. In Romans 5:8, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. Jesus modeled the very love that he's challenging us to do. He didn't die for us and invite us into heaven when we were acting like good people. He did it when we were sinners. Let's take a moment and bow our heads and thank God for that healing that he's provided of our relationship, of our soul, and for us to be able to be a light and share that with others. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that you modeled a kind of love that blows us away. That you were willing to die and rise from the dead so that we could have a relationship with you, so that we could become the people you've always designed us to be, so that we could be able to love people we meet in a way that only could happen supernaturally with you living inside of us. Lord, help us be set apart from the world. Help us not go to Facebook and use that to model how we respond to difficult situations. Help us not look at how our friends or family might do it. Lord, help us look to you as our model. Help us to be able to love those who are difficult to love. Lord, help us love those who don't treat us right. It doesn't mean we have to put up with abuse. It doesn't mean we take revenge. Somewhere in the middle there is the kind of love that you expressed on the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Dan. All right, friends. We're going to take out this service with one more song. So if you can, throw down your crayons or keep coloring. That's fine. But if you're a tall person, go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing one more song together.